We are welcoming a new show to iHeart and the DraftKings YouTube channel. It is called Point Game with John Wall and CJ Toledano. It is an insider look at the NBA and the coaches surrounding the league. Every week, the five-time All-Star and the number one pick in the 2010 NBA Draft, John Wall, will give his unique perspective on hot topics in the league and tell the best behind-the-scenes stories from his time in the NBA. So check out Point Game with John Wall and CJ Toledano on the iHeartRadio app, the DraftKings YouTube channel, or wherever you listen to podcasts.
AT&T connects an ode to podcasts. Connect the alarm. Change the podcast you stream. Connect the snooze. 10 more minutes to dream.
Connect the shower. Lather up with the news. Sports talk, comedians, or movie reviews. Connect with that three-hour philosophy show. Change the drive into work. In traffic, so slow.
Connect the dishes to voices that glow. Thank you to the geniuses of spoken audio. Connect the stories, change your perspective. Connecting changes everything. AT&T.
Hey, girlfriends, it's me, Carol Fisher, back with another season of the global number one podcast, The Girlfriends. Last time, we investigated the murder of Gail Katz. This time, we're uncovering the identity of the woman who was buried in Gail's grave for a decade before she disappeared. Join me and the rest of the club as we tell her story. Listen to season two of The Girlfriends, Our Lost Sister on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
It's time to wake up.
DJ Angela Yee and Charlamagne the God.
Of the Breakfast Club, bitches.
The voice of the culture.
People watch The Breakfast Club for, like, news and really be tuned in.
It's one of my favorite shows to do. Just because y'all always keep it 100, y'all keep it real.
They might not watch the news, but they're on Twitter. They're on Facebook. They're, you know, they're listening to The Breakfast Club.
Get your ass up.
Yo, 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 yo,
good morning, Angela.
Good morning.
It sound like you under the snow, bro.
Damn.
Check. Can you hear me?
Like that.
Yes. I can hear you just fine, ye. Envy, not so much.
Okay. Let me reboot.
Now, keep in mind, people. Everybody's broadcasting from home today because in the tri-state area where we reside at, the New York, New Jersey, Connecticut area, it was what they call a nor'easter, a.k.a. a blizzard. Supposed to be a foot of snow. I didn't see a foot of snow on the ground. You?
Well, I'm actually in Detroit.
Oh, you're in Detroit. Is it the same in Detroit? Is it a winter weather warning there, too? Winter storm?
It did snow yesterday, but it wasn't a foot of snow. It was maybe like 4 inches.
Oh, okay.
You guys hear me now? Do I sound better?
Nope.
You still sound like you're under a blanket of snow, sir.
Damn it.
All I'm saying is I hate when the meteorologist tells us that it's going to be Snowmageddon. And then you waiting for Snowmageddon. So you go to the store the day before and you get all your snacks and supplies. And then you wake up in the morning and it don't look as crazy as they said.
Well, at least you have snacks in the house.
No.
That's a good thing. That's a positive thing.
I'm still trying to lose quarantine weight. All this comfort food in the crib.
Healthy snacks are good.
That is right? True. That is true.
I'm actually in Detroit because we had a store opening for... I did a little VIP thing for my hair store that just opened out here, private label. So that was pretty nice. We're not normally open on Sundays, but yesterday I just had a few VIP people come through, some stylists and people that work in beauty just to, so they could see the store, meet the manager, and meet the owners.
Okay.
It's nice.
A beautiful thing. Dropping the clues bombs for Pink Label in Detroit.
Private label.
Angela Yee's new venture. Private label. I'm sorry. Private label in Detroit. Yeah. Angela Yee's
Pink would be
venture.
Something different.
We got front page news coming up, Yee.
Yes, and let's dig more into what's going on right now with the weather across the United States. We'll tell you about the storm, who's going to be affected, how much snow can you expect.
That's right. It's the world's most dangerous morning show, The Breakfast Club. It's Monday!
Morning, everybody. It's DJ Envy, Angela Yee, Charlamagne Tha God. We are The Breakfast Club. Do I sound any better?
Yes.
Yeah, you good.
Oh, thank God. All right. I know y'all talk about snow. No, it's snowing out here in Jersey where I'm at. I mean, like, we must have about at least close to 10 inches of snow. So it's snowing out here.
None of that.
And it's still coming down.
Well, they have declared emergencies in New Jersey and New York City yesterday, and they're saying there's blizzard conditions. There's almost 80 million people under winter storm watches right now with warnings and advisories across the Midwest, the Northeast, and New Jersey. You guys do have a state of emergency, and all New Jersey Transit and its 6 vaccine mega sites will be closed. In New York City, the snow was not forecast to stop Monday until about a foot had fallen. And so, again, if you're traveling or if there's anything that you have going on right now, just make sure you check your flight information, because there's a lot of places right now under winter storm warnings.
All right.
Oh, so the snow's dropping today, too?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yep, all day today.
So we might get to that foot then, over here.
All right, what else we got, ye?
Well, let's talk about Taylor Bracey. Now, I know we discussed this high school student who was slammed onto the floor by a cop. Now she has headaches and memory loss. And her mother, Jamisha Bracey, has spoken about out about her 16-year-old daughter.
I had got a phone call from my daughter stating that, you know, some girls wanted to jump her. 2 minutes later, you know, the dean called me to say that he was going to keep her, you know, in student services and to investigate what was going on. 20 minutes later, I get a call from the assistant principal to say that EMT wanted to check my daughter out. They didn't give me no details on what happened. He handed the phone to the lieutenant EMT for him to tell me that, you know, she didn't have any physical injuries to her, you know, that she looked fine.
I'm telling you, man, if you watch that video, it's going to take a lot of... I don't know what it's going to take a lot of. I just know that you're asking too much of me as a human being to do something like that to my daughter, to do something like that to my sister, and expect me not to retaliate in some way, shape, or form. Like, I don't give a damn. You can have the badge on. You can have the uniform on. At the end of the day, you're still a man, and you're still a human. So you got to have some type of compassion and empathy for people. The person that did that to that young lady had no compassion and no empathy. Why should he get treated like a human?
Right. Like, he hasn't been fired yet. He hasn't been charged with anything. Well, attorney Ben Crump joined Jamisha Bracey, who is Taylor Bracey's mother, on TMZ Live. And here's what he had to say.
She has problems with memory now. She has blurry vision. She has headaches. She's having problems sleeping. And you would imagine that if you got slammed like this, where your head is hitting the concrete, that you would have severe issues too with your cognitive functions. We are demanding that this officer be terminated and be charged with aggravated assault and battery.
What's that coward's name again? I can't remember his name again. I gave him donkey today last week. What's the coward police officer's name? His name should be said. We don't say his name enough.
Right. His name is Deputy Ethan Fournier.
Yes. Yeah, there you go. Ethan Fournier. I would want this to happen, right? I would want a woman that Ethan loves, right? Daughter, sister, somebody like that, young girl. I want somebody to slam her on her head, and I want to see how he reacts. And however he reacts is how people should react towards him.
Well, I don't want another woman to get slammed, but I would like for him to be charged. I would like for him to get fired. I would like for him to go to jail, because you can't just do things like that. She's a 16-year-old, and... you shouldn't be slamming any woman, period, but...
You definitely shouldn't be slamming any woman, but I would love to see how he would react to somebody doing that to a woman that he loves. And however he reacts is how people should react.
Yeah, that sounds good, but like he said, you don't want anybody, especially random and innocent, to get slammed, but you want him to get effed up. Like, you want him to go to jail, 100%. And you want him to get some real pain, because what he did was cowardly.
Come on, cowardly, not even a word. That's an understatement. Like, you're just asking too much of a human being as just a human on this planet to do something like that to somebody I love and think there should be no retaliation. Come on, man.
Yeah, unfortunately, I don't have much good news for everyone this morning. I mean, there's a school resource officer who used a taser on a female student. They said the girl was involved in a fight with another student. That's also not good news. Mm-mm-mm. You know, the deputy
says
he warned
her.
The cop says he tried to stop her. She attacked him by punching him several times in the head. And then he said he tried to talk her down. It didn't work. And she allegedly punched him in the face. There's videos on TikTok that are showing the struggle the cop had with the student as he tried to restrain her. He said he warned her he was going to tase her if she didn't stop resisting. When she ignored that, he fired the taser and she went down when that happened.
Yo, I don't care what you've been trained to do as a police officer. At some point, regular human compassion has to kick in, and your mind has to say, I can't treat a 10 or 11-year-old like this.
Now, the person you're talking about was in Rochester, and that's a 9-year-old girl. She was handcuffed and pepper sprayed by police officers responding to a report of family trouble in Rochester, New York.
Hold on. We're not even talking about the same thing just now?
No.
This is a third one?
Yeah. That's what I'm saying. It's not good news today.
Lord have mercy.
My goodness. All right. Well, that is front page news. Get it off your chest. 800-585-1051. If you need to vent, hit us up now. It's The Breakfast Club. Good morning.
This is a public service announcement from The Breakfast Club and Bernie Mac.
I tell you like it is. It's cold and a motherfucker outside.
The Breakfast Club.
Wake up, wake up.
Wake your ass.
This is your time to get it off your chest. Whether you're mad or blessed, we want to hear from you on The Breakfast Club.
Hello, who's this?
Hey, this is Mike, man.
Mike, what up? Get it off your chest, Mike.
What's up, man? I called back from last week. Hey, I just want to congratulate you, Angela Yee. I ain't gonna call you this week and get on you about going to Texas. So I'm gonna let you slide this week. But congratulations on opening your business.
Well, thank you. I had my 55-inch wig on that Dallas made for me, so that was exciting. It took him 4 days to make that wig and color it.
Wow, that's all right. Yeah, make sure you get tested. Make sure you get tested before you come back, though.
All right, brother.
Yeah, you leave fire and all that, but just make sure you get COVID tested before you come back, man.
Hello, who's this?
Hey, yo, this is Danny, man.
Danny, man, what up? Get it off your chest.
Hey, man, I just got a question for Charlamagne, man.
Yes, sir.
Hey, man, I just want to ask him how you trust them enlargement pills, but you don't trust the vaccine.
That's a good point. I'm trying to make you pee. You don't know what's in those.
I can tell you that's an easy answer. The easy answer is those pills have been around much longer than the vaccine has. Those pills, those penis enlargement pills have been around for years and years and years, decades and decades. There's so many studies that show they do not work. Okay? All right? Hey, the vaccine ain't been around that long, sir.
But for real though, I'm a big fan of you, Charlamagne, man. And I was just wondering, can I get like a book? But can you sign it if that's cool?
Like, I got you.
What would you like him to sign it?
I'm not in the studio today, but I'll definitely get it to you this week, my brother. I'll get you a copy of Shook One.
I appreciate y'all, man. I love The Breakfast Club, man.
We love you, brother. King.
Get it off your chest. 800-585-1051. If you need to vent, hit us up now. It's The Breakfast Club. Good morning.
The Breakfast Club. This is your time to get it off your chest, whether you're mad or blessed.
So you better have the same energy.
We want to hear from you on The Breakfast Club.
Hello, who's this?
Ashanti.
Hey, get it off your chest.
Hey, Ashanti.
Well, I honestly feel so embarrassed with saying that I'm on my way to work right now. My fiance got sent to jail yesterday because of his actions or what he did to me, but I took him back. And I don't know what really to do. I'm really trying to work this out. Go to couples counseling and seeing what's going on, but and why he went there because he just doesn't listen and he has anger issues. And I don't know what else to do, honestly.
It sounds like he need to do a lot of work on himself. He need to do some therapy. Sounds like it to me, some anger management. He got a lot of unhealed trauma he need to deal with.
Do you feel like you're in danger?
No, I don't know. I'm not sure. Honestly, the issue is I'm trying to, I don't know why I feel like I'm trying to help him. I'm telling myself I deserve better. But he is a good person and a good man to me. But I don't understand why I'm taking it back.
He's gotta wanna get the help that he needs too. You can't make somebody better or make them get help. They have to want to do it for themselves.
You're right.
I don't know what you want us to tell you this morning, because I think that you know all the answers. You're just holding on to this idea of something, as opposed to dealing with the reality of it. But you know what you need to be doing.
And sometimes you enable somebody when you actually keep giving them a pass. And making excuses.
Okay.
All right, mama. All right. Hello, who's this?
Yo, what's going on? Yo, it's BJ.
What's up, man?
BJ,
get it off your chest.
What's happening, up?
Come on, man. Grow up, Charlamagne.
Yo. No, I refuse.
Yo, first of all, yo, I want to say I've been listening to y'all since day one. I wanted to congratulate y'all on y'all 10 years. I didn't get to before, so I wanted to big y'all up. Y'all basically living legends. Also, I want to congratulate y'all on the Hall of Fame as well.
Thank you. I appreciate that.
Yeah, no doubt. Keep up the great work, y'all. Thank you. But, yo, y'all, I don't know if y'all talked about the Wendy Williams show, I mean, movie yet. Lenard, not yet. Did you get to help out with your cast and anything, bro? Because they did you dirty, bro.
I told them that they did me dirty. I could wake up this morning and choose violence, but I won't. But it's Lifetime though. that's what Lifetime does. Lifetime casting.
They could have got a little
historically
closer.
Trash.
You had a headband on.
I
get all types of.
He's low key. I thought it was like.
I did not have a headband.
Yo, you ain't even look that old, bro. Why did you do you like that?
Look mad old. You did have a headband on when you was in the studio.
I did not have a headband on. That wasn't me. My character was the person that at the comedy club.
You wasn't on the radio too. Wasn't you in the radio too?
No.
Who was that?
He had a fitting on. Yeah,
fitting on. Yep. That's right. I had a fitting on. And some gear from that was left from the Straight Outta Compton movie they did. And
leftovers. Yo, but
so you didn't think it was spot on.
It was kind of close.
I've been a big fan of you as well, yo, from since you started on the Wendy Williams show. You got any more of your books, bro? Let me get a signed copy.
I got you, King. We put you on hold. We send you a copy of Shook One, and I'm going to send you The Unapologetic Guide to Black Mental Health by Dr. Rita Walker.
Great. Hold on, all right?
Appreciate that, bro. Thank you a lot, man.
All right. Get it off your chest. 800-585-1051. If you need to vent, you can hit us up. Now, we got rumors on the way?
Yes, and I guess we can start it off with the Wendy Williams biopic and things that Wendy Williams has had to say. We also, this morning, are going to have a statement from somebody who Wendy recently spoke about. So that's going to be exclusive this morning.
All right, we'll get into that next. It's The Breakfast Club. Good morning.
Wake up. It's The Breakfast Club.
Hey, girlfriends, it's me, Carol Fisher. I'm so excited to tell you about the brand new series of The Girlfriends. In season one, we told you about the murder of Gail Katz at the hands of my ex-boyfriend, Bob. At one point, a woman's torso washed up on Staten Island and was misidentified as Gail. She spent 9 years in Gail's grave, and then she just disappeared.
It's almost like it's become this moral obligation to find her.
And that's what we're going to do. Find this missing girlfriend and tell her story. With the help of some of your favorite girlfriends from season one, like my producer, Anna.
Oh, my God.
My friend, Dr. Mindy Shapiro.
Hi, it's Dr. Shapiro, and I'd like to speak with the deputy medical examiner.
And, of course, Gail's sister, Elaine Katz.
Having no closure, it kills you.
Join us as we try to solve a 35-year-old cold case. It's not going to be easy, but it's going to be one hell of a ride.
What?
I can't believe this.
Listen to season two of The Girlfriends, Our Lost Sister on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Danielle Moody here, host of the Woke AF Daily podcast. We've been with iHeart's Outspoken Network for a year, and what a year it has been. Every weekday, I navigate our rapidly changing world alongside our series of fabulous expert guests. As we head deeper into 2024 and yet another life-changing election cycle, Woke AF Daily is here to keep you sane and woke. Woke not just to the latest headlines, but also to the collective power we all have. Woke to the need to build community with those around us. Woke to how to avoid burnout, and woke to the ways we can all find joy in the madness. Make Woke AF Daily with Danielle Moody your podcast destination for 2024 election news and analysis. And tune in to hear the ways I am working to stay grounded amidst it all. Listen to Woke AF Daily Season 5 on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
We started talking about this incident. Drugs and officials cover up. You couldn't believe it.
From iHeart Podcasts.
It's like the police knew who he was before they got here.
A story about money, power, and corruption.
The medical school dean at USC was leading a secret double life.
He's breathing right now?
Yes, he's absolutely breathing. I'm a doctor, actually.
There's no way that that guy's a doctor.
I'm Paul Pringle, and I'm an investigative reporter for the LA Times. This is the story of an investigation that starts in a hotel room in Pasadena, California, and reaches all the way to the top of two of the most powerful institutions in the city of Los Angeles.
When people fall in line, they fall in line.
Looking back, I realized, everyone knew.
This is Fallen Angels, a story of California corruption.
We're always gonna have predators. It's the good people who stand by and do nothing that allow them to flourish.
Listen to Fallen Angels, a story of California corruption on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcast, or wherever you get your podcasts.
This is the Rumor Report with Angela Yee. Rumor has it. On the Breakfast Club.
So listen up.
So a lot of people were watching this Wendy Williams Lifetime biopic followed by her documentary where she gets very honest about a lot of things that happened in her life. She had some struggles with her weight and with bulimia. Here's what she had to say.
Weight has always been a big deal to me. And that seed was planted, you know, growing up. My father, the first man who loves you, the first message about my weight is, Wendy, you have such a pretty face if you just lose some weight. I would get weighed constantly by my mother and father.
I knew that my mother would harp on her weight, and you know, it wasn't comfortable for her, and Wendy would make herself throw up after dinner.
I stopped doing that, I'll tell you why, because I was reading about some of these Hollywood actresses who had done that, but her teeth started to rot out. And I said, okay, this is not the way to go.
I don't feel like they let the parents explain their position on that enough in the documentary. Because I was wondering, was it for I was wondering, were they doing that for cosmetic reasons or health reasons? Like, I wondered why they were so, you know, passionate about her losing weight.
Why her parents were passionate about it.
Oh, yeah.
Why her parents were. Yes.
Right. Yeah. I mean, and your parents can definitely make you feel a way. When they're like, oh, you gained some weight. Oh, you got big. Oh, you need to stop eating that.
I don't know if you remember, but growing up, if you were overweight, it was like you always were made fun of. It was one of those things where especially parents back then wanted you to lose weight. They figured, you know, stay outside, keep working. And I mean, I thought that was in most kids growing up when I used to see it, though, back then.
All right. Now, in addition to that, Wendy was very honest about a situation that happened to her where she interviewed an artist. And she says she was date raped.
Early in my radio career, there was this artist, and he had the number one song on the R&B charts at the time. He came and did an interview on my radio show, and he asked me out for dinner. And when we went to his hotel, he invited me to his room, and I went. He goes in the bathroom to, you know, do whatever he does. When he comes out, he's got, like, nothing on, a pair of boxers. And my dumb behind, instead of just getting up and walking out, I'm like, okay, let me see how far this is going to go. I don't want to have the sex. So he ended up pushing himself on me, and he date raped me.
Yeah, and they never said his name in the doc, but they said his name in the press.
Right, she talked about it, and she did reveal what his name was, and he's passed. He's no longer alive, and I remember his widow did speak out and question why she would bring this up now and that he's not here to defend himself. But she did reveal who he was, if you want to search that. Now, in addition, Wendy spoke on the miscarriages that were very difficult for her that she had before finally giving birth to her son, Kevin Jr.
He didn't want to get married. He wasn't marriage-minded. He'd never seen a successful marriage. Thank God we were on the same page with that. But then I got pregnant, and things changed. Then we had a 5-month miscarriage, and that was devastating. Kevin came to me and said, look, marry me. And I said, yeah. So after we got married, I got pregnant again.
The entire city saw me have 2 5-month miscarriages, and I had to deliver the babies, like, with the epidural and the push, push, push. And the nurses, they said, do you want to know if it's a boy or a girl? I said, no. Do you want a funeral, or what do you want? I said, just go.
Yikes.
Man, that's so sad.
Well, a lot of that was in Wendy's first book, too, by the way. It's a great read if you've never read Wendy's first book.
Right. It's crazy hearing her even discuss it. That's so difficult, just giving birth, knowing the baby's not going to be alive, but still going through that whole process. She also talked about catching Kevin cheating when their son was only 2 months old.
I wake up like 2 o'clock in the morning to go to the bathroom. I just delivered him 2 months ago. And big Kev wasn't in the bed. And then I walked into young Kev's nursery,
and I hear my husband talking greasy on the phone.
And then I lose it and jump into the room. I say, what's going on? He told me it was some girl, some bank teller he met at a bank. He's ending it and so on and so forth. And I honestly believe that. He was cheating on me. And I don't know how to be a mother. I wanted this, but what do I do now?
Did y'all like the movie? Did y'all like the movie and Doc? What'd y'all enjoy?
I thought it was entertaining. And regardless of how people feel about Wendy personally, I think she actually has been through a lot. She was very resilient. She was resourceful. She put herself out there a lot. It's not easy. It's not an easy world to navigate the way that she did.
Yeah, I enjoyed it. Oh, go ahead, Envy. What'd you thought?
No, I was going to say it was, I enjoyed it. I just don't think it was real. Just being in New York and being in the scene in a lot of those times and seeing what went on, that wasn't 100% factual. A lot of the stuff, in my opinion, what I've seen and what I heard. But it was good. It was a good movie. It's a Lifetime movie.
She kept it 50. She didn't keep it 100. I enjoyed the documentary more than the movie. And it's not that it was a lot of fabrication. It was just a lot of omissions.
Right.
You know what I mean? It was hard, but it definitely was a lot of omissions.
But it is hard because it's a long span of time, too, to put into a movie.
Now,
right?
Which doc do you like, Charlamagne? The one you're in or the one that you're not in?
What are you talking about?
Because you pulled yourself out of one.
One's a doc.
You were supposed to be in the doc. That's what I said. Which doc did you like better? Because you've seen both of them.
I enjoyed the doc. Mm. Yeah, I enjoyed the doc more than the movie. I enjoyed the doc more. But I'll tell you one thing, though. A lot of women that helped Wendy on the way up didn't get a lot of love either. You know, Helen Little in particular. Like, there is no Wendy in Philly without Helen Little. And I feel like a black woman should give another black woman that credit for assisting her back in the game. But that's just me. Drop on the clues bombs for Helen Little, by the way. I don't think Philly got a lot of love in her story at all. It was just kind of like a drive-by on Philadelphia.
Now, Philadelphia got a little bit of love. She said she did Philly, New York called back, and she, you know, raced back to New York. But yeah, got a little love.
Yeah, but Philly's what really, really put her back in the game.
I was out one night and I ran into Wendy and Kevin, and I didn't even know them that well. I only knew Wendy from having interviewed her a couple of times at Sirius. And that's when I had gotten an offer for Philly to do mornings, and they came up to me and they were like, listen, don't go to Philly. They were like, whatever you do, don't go to Philly. Just wait for a New York offer to come through. Don't go do mornings in Philly. And I was like, damn, how did they even know I got an offer?
I love Philly.
That's disrespectful.
I'm just telling you what they said. I was like, how did they even know about it?
If you go to Philly and you have success in radio, 9 times out of 10, you're going to have success in New York. And Philly has helped many a radio personality in their day. I was in Philly doing mornings on 100.3 The Beat for like 9 months before they fired my ass. Okay, but
she said she went to Philly because she couldn't be in New York, so she had to go to Philly until she was able to go back to New York.
Yeah, but that means a lot. You know what I mean? Having that place that embraces you and you still get to, you know, keep your name out there and keep your radio chops going. Like, Philly did a lot.
Trust me, I was looking for apartments already. I was like, let me see, where can I live if this happens? So
she even got the whole "how you doing" phrase. She got that from Wendy. I mean, she got Philly, that from Philly. Wendy got that from Philly. I forgot the brother's name. All right, D Light, I think his name is D something.
Well, we'll be talking more about this, and I'm sure people are going to call and weigh in as well. But that is your rumor report.
All right, thank you, Miss Yee. Now we got front page news. Next, what are we talking about?
Yeah, you know, the news has been very depressing this morning, but I do have something we want to talk about, a UFO that was spotted.
That's right. My cousins are here. Let's go, baby.
All right. We'll get into that next. Keep it locked. It's the Breakfast Club. Good morning. Morning, everybody. It's DJ Envy, Angela Yee, Charlamagne Tha Guy. We are the Breakfast Club. Let's get in some front page news. Now, where are we starting, Yee?
Well, let's start with this UFO. There were clear shots of a UFO that was spotted above the freeway on the outskirts of LA. And an eyewitness took these pictures last Saturday. They said she was on the phone and then she saw this thing hovering in the sky, flying in the same direction she was heading with a group of lights that were trailing behind it. The eyewitness said she shot 3 consecutive photos. And I don't know, did you all see these pictures? They said it's not Photoshop.
Damn right, I saw them. I saw them. You know, I'm all in on UFOs and extraterrestrials, and if you've been paying attention for at least the past 2 years, they're preparing to tell us what we already know. And what we already know is that we're not alone in all of these millions of universes and galaxies, okay? And it's intelligent life that's way more intelligent than us out here in these streets, these universal streets.
Mm. Yeah, so who knows what's about to happen soon?
We need it. The world needs, are they Earth friendly? Needs that are humbling. They-
Yeah, we need to know if they're friendly. If they come in peace.
They human.
Or they want to smoke.
Well, they not human. But they got emotions just like everybody else.
Would you walk up to the UFO if it was on the ground?
No.
Nah. No, but it depends, right? It depends on how they come to us. You know what I mean? And by the way,
crazy on TikTok.
We keep calling them aliens. We're aliens to them as well, you know. We just not as smart as them, because if we were, we could travel to their planets and things as well. We can't, but they can. I'm telling you, if you think that the universe is not as diverse as the Earth, you're bugging. All of these different life forms that's here on Earth, all of these different animals, things in the water, things in the woods, things in the sky, you think the universe isn't as diverse? You're crazy. Come on.
All right, now, former President Donald Trump's 5 impeachment defense attorneys have left him. And it's about a week before his trial is set to begin. So he did hire 2 new attorneys, but why would they leave at the last minute like that? They said he's been having some problems finding lawyers.
Because their ship came.
Who are willing to
Nobody
take his
on
case.
Earth would represent him. Nobody on Earth would represent him. Aliens came, and then the aliens was like, you know what? This is a losing cause.
Oh my
That's what the UFO was over LA. They were picking up his defense team, and they left.
I saw what some speculation is, because they're saying as an attorney, you cannot defend something that you don't agree with or you don't think is true. And I guess he's been focused so much on this fraud with the election, and they didn't agree with that. So some people are speculating that's why, because he really is focused on this fraud, and it's not really about, you know, the Capitol riots and all of that. So I'm not sure why these attorneys have left him, but he does have 2 new attorneys that are representing him. Defense lawyer David Schoen and Bruce Castor, who is a former DA from Pennsylvania. He faced some criticism for his decision to not charge Bill Cosby in a sex crimes case. And the other attorney that we just mentioned, David Schoen, actually met with Jeffrey Epstein about representing him, because he doesn't believe that Jeffrey Epstein also committed suicide, he said as well. So those are his 2 new attorneys.
Jesus Christ. Huh.
Yeah. And one last thing, Anderson Cooper, he confronted a man who is part of, well, was part of QAnon. And it was an awkward conversation on CNN. Listen to this.
Did you at the time believe that high level Democrats and celebrities were worshiping Satan, drinking the blood of children?
Anderson, I thought you did that. And I would like to apologize for that right now. So I apologize for thinking that you ate babies. It's because Q specifically mentioned you, and he mentioned you very early on. I'm going to be honest, like, people still talk about that to this day. There were posts about that just 4 days ago. Some people thought you were a robot.
Oh my God.
What?
People like that are the biggest losers. They don't believe in themselves or their own greatness. And when they see somebody else being great, they have to justify their own failures by saying, oh, that person's only in that position because they eat babies. Or that person's only in that position because they drink blood. Or that person's only in that position because they do sacrifices. You know how much of a loser you have to be, and how much low self-esteem you have to have, and how much not belief in yourself you have to have to justify your failures by saying stuff like that about other people? Come on.
It's just so weird. All right, well, that is your front page news.
All right. Thank you, Miss Yee. Now, when we come back, let's open up the phone lines. 800-585-1051. Now, the Wendy Williams movie was on Lifetime over the weekend. Did you see it? Let's talk about it. What were your thoughts? Phone lines are wide open. 800-585-1051. Let's talk about it. It's the Breakfast Club.
What's the biggest lies you saw from the Wendy Williams movie? That's another good topic.
Boy.
It's topic time. Call 800-585-1051 to join into the discussion with the Breakfast Club.
Talk about it.
Morning, everybody. It's DJ Envy, Angela Yee, Charlamagne Tha God. We are the Breakfast Club. Now, if you just join us, we're talking about the Wendy Williams movie. Now, we're asking, what did you think? Charlamagne said, what was your question, Charlamagne?
What were the biggest lies from the Wendy Williams movie? But, I mean, you know, if you weren't close to the situation, you wouldn't know.
So let me ask you, let's start with you. What were the biggest lies on that movie?
You know, it wasn't so much fabrication, but I just think a lot of omission. You know mm-hmm. what I mean? Like the way they made Kelvin look in the movie. Kelvin was far from who I think he was. Did he hold Wendy down? Yes, but he also used a lot of those insecurities she had about her weight to keep her down. You know what I mean? Like that's the mental and emotional abuse. Like he would constantly remind her that she was a fat bitch. Nobody wanted his constant words. Not mine. And I think Kelvin being a tough guy, I don't know where that came from. Because I've seen Kelvin get punked quite a few times in these streets.
Maybe she felt like he was protecting her. Maybe she didn't even really know.
That's true. But, you know, I wouldn't
but
tell
you're anymore. Also very close to the situation and you have a huge hate for Kevin Hunter.
I don't hate him. Hate is a strong word.
No, you hate him.
I dislike him.
No,
he is a trigger for me. He's a
Let
trigger.
Me ask you a question. If that man was hanging off of a cliff and you were there, would you help him up or would you be like you're on your own, bro?
I'd pray for him. I say whatever God got planned for you in this moment, okay, is what God has planned for you in this moment.
I hate you,
okay?
Man.
I don't like how they brushed by Philly in the movie. You know what I'm saying? As a radio guy, you know, Philly has played a very pivotal role in a lot of radio careers, and it definitely played a pivotal role in her career. And I don't think Wendy took the time to not only properly big up Philly, but big up another black woman who gave her that opportunity in Philly, and that's Helen Little. You know, I would have liked
Shout
to hear
a little.
More mention of Carter and Sanborn, you know, Kobe and D.
But,
Lee. You know, D. Lee is where she got to How You Doing from. Mm-hmm. I just think it should have been a lot more, you know, homage paid to Philly.
But I will say this, you know, it's a long lifetime. I mean, this is what, 40 years of Wendy's life broken down to what, 2 hours, 3 hours? So there's a lot that had to be taken out. And a lot of the producers are looking for the juice. They're looking for the things that's going to keep people there. And maybe editing, they took a lot of that out. Because even when the actor was there, they said they took a lot of the scenes out. Especially they said the domestic violence they took out. So they took a lot of things out, you know?
Well, she said that never happened at all.
What's that?
That she never got physically abused. I saw her say that in the documentary.
The actor said it, that they took it out.
Listen, I got eyes. I ain't whatever.
Well, maybe, she didn't want to do that because of their son, too.
Yeah, maybe. But between the movie and the documentary, it's just still little tiny details, especially in the doc, that I thought could have been highlighted. Most specifically, you know, her time in Philadelphia. And I feel like she brushed past her time at Hot 97, too.
She did. She definitely
you know
brushed
what I mean?
By
Hot
that
97
time.
Played such a pivotal role in her career. Like, I understand that, you know, she may have some ill feelings toward Hot 97, but don't just brush by it because of your ill feelings. You know what I mean?
No, and at the time...
And don't you think Charlemagne's character should have been in there a little bit more?
No.
It wasn't about Charlemagne or Skeletor or any of the other co-hosts. I don't think. This was her story.
That was a brief moment in her life. I worked with Wendy for 3 years. That's a blip. That's a blip in a 56-year life.
Now, I do agree. I think Hot 97, in my opinion, made Wendy that name that she was. Of course, WBLS took her to another stratosphere. But you got to think, during that time, they had Starnbuck in the morning, Wendy Williams doing middays, Angie Martinez and Flex at night, and then they have Fat Man Scoop doing overnights. Like, that was the dream
team. But let's also
team, you know,
understand, this movie was 1 hour and 30 minutes. I mean, how much stuff can you get in it?
But even with the doc was another couple of hours. They could have got some of that stuff in there. Like, how you just brush by the fight with you and Angie Martinez? But she referred to Angie as some part-time little
part-time,
job.
Part-time, yeah, that was whack. She was never no part-time. She was full-time, and she was busting ass, and she continues to bust ass. Shout out to Angie Martinez.
Is a whole legend.
Yeah, her and Angie Martinez got into a fight, and Angie Martinez gave her a two-piece and a biscuit.
Whoa, I don't know about all that. I don't know what it was. Well, I would say it was an empanada.
A two-piece empanada. I hate you.
Salute to Angie Ma.
Shout out to Angie Ma. Let's go to the phone lines. Hello, who's this?
My name is Ashley. I'm from North Carolina. Well, I actually live in North Carolina, but I'm from Philly.
Okay. What did you think about the movie?
Ashley.
The Wendy Williams movie.
What's up, Charlamagne and Angela?
Hey.
What's happening?
So, Envy, basically what I felt, I agree with Charlamagne because she did do a drive-by on Philly. I never heard of her before the time of her being in Philly, and I'm 34, but I always knew her to be in Philly first, in my opinion, but that's just how I saw it. Mm-hmm. The whole how you doing is exactly what Charlamagne said, and it was a short time. She made it seem like it was kind of like a few months, like a month or two, and then it was just like, all right, I'm done.
How long was she? I think she was
really
a couple years in Philly,
more than that.
Yeah, I thought so, too. I did.
Yeah, she spent a lot of time in Philly, and I thought that she really needed to embrace that because we did embrace her a lot.
Yeah, right. 100%.
All right, well, thank you, Mama. 800-585-1051. We're talking about the Wendy Williams movie. Did you see it? What were your thoughts? Let's discuss it, all right? It's The Breakfast Club. Good morning.
Hey, girlfriends. It's me, Carol Fisher. I'm so excited to tell you about the brand new series of The Girlfriends. In season one, we told you about the murder of Gail Katz at the hands of my ex-boyfriend, Bob. At one point, a woman's torso washed up on Staten Island and was misidentified as Gail. She spent 9 years in Gail's grave, and then she just disappeared.
It's almost like it's become this moral obligation to find her.
And that's what we're going to do. Find this missing girlfriend and tell her story. With the help of some of your favorite girlfriends from season one, like my producer, Anna.
Oh, my God.
My friend, Dr. Mindy Shapiro.
Hi, it's Dr. Shapiro, and I'd like to speak with the deputy medical examiner.
And, of course, Gail's sister, Elaine Katz.
Having no closure, it kills you.
Join us as we try to solve a 35-year-old cold case. It's not going to be easy, but it's going to be one hell of a ride.
What?
I can't believe this.
Listen to season two of The Girlfriends, Our Lost Sister on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Danielle Moody here, host of the Woke AF Daily podcast. We've been with iHeart's Outspoken Network for a year, and what a year it has been. Every weekday, I navigate our rapidly changing world alongside our series of fabulous expert guests. As we head deeper into 2024 and yet another life-changing election cycle, Woke AF Daily is here to keep you sane and woke. Woke not just to the latest headlines, but also to the collective power we all have. Woke to the need to build community with those around us. Woke to how to avoid burnout, and woke to the ways we can all find joy in the madness. Make Woke AF Daily with Danielle Moody your podcast destination for 2024 election news and analysis. And tune in to hear the ways I am working to stay grounded amidst it all. Listen to Woke AF Daily Season 5 on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Hey, everybody. Welcome to Across Generations, where the voices of Black women unite in powerful conversations. I'm your host, Tiffany Cross.
Tiffany Cross.
I want you all to join me and be a part of sisterhood, friendship, wisdom, and laughter. In every episode, we gather a seasoned elder.
But even with a child, there's no such thing as the wrong thing if you love them.
Myself, as the middle generation.
I don't feel like I have to get married at this big age in life, but it is a desire I have and something that I've navigated in dating.
And a vibrant young soul for engaging intergenerational conversations.
I'm very jealous of your generation that didn't have to deal with Instagram and Tinder.
This is Across Generations, where Black women's voices unite, and together, you know how we do, we create magic. Listen to Across Generations podcast on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
I know when
call me.
Add your opinion to the Breakfast Club topic.
Come on.
800-585-1051.
Morning, everybody. It's DJ Envy, Angela Yee, Charlamagne Tha God. We are the Breakfast Club. Good morning. If you just joined us, we're talking about the Wendy Williams movie. We're asking, what were your thoughts? Let's talk about it. Let's go to the phone lines. Hello, who's this?
Hey, this is Big Phil from VA. How y'all doing, Breakfast Club?
What's up, Big Phil from VA?
King.
What's your thoughts on the Wendy Williams movie?
Oh, my God. Why Charlamagne wasn't in there?
He was.
The dude they had, I know, but the dude they had playing was a quick snippet. So I wanted to know if Charlamagne, you going after him for that? Because I know your beef is with Wendy. It's not actually, I mean, it's with Kevin, not with Wendy.
No, I got love for Wendy. You know what I mean? Wendy is an abused human being and has been an abused human being for a long time. So I have empathy for Wendy. But, nah, I don't have no beef. I ain't wake up this morning and choose violence. I don't care.
Okay. All right. Well, I appreciate that. Thank you. I want to give a shout-out to my wife, Keisha. I love you, baby.
Okay. Hello, who's this?
This is Ashley.
Hey, Ashley. Good morning. What did you think of the Wendy Williams movie?
You know, I thought that she was telling some of the story, but not telling all of the story. It was like some things, it was obvious that she was leaving out details, and it just wasn't making any sense.
Yeah, she kept it 50. Not 100. She kept it 50.
Yeah.
I feel like it's hard for anybody to, when they're telling their own story, to be completely honest. I don't know that people really do. Like, I read people's autobiographies and I'm like, there's always more than one side. And I feel like people see themselves differently than other people see them too.
But that even if you tell your side of the story, like, there should be details in there that make your side of the story make sense. Like, even when she was talking about going to rehab, she started talking about how she was drinking too much wine, but then she passed out in the Statue of Liberty costume, but she never actually said she passed out because she was drunk. She just showed her passing out, so she never actually connected the dots. So it was kind of like, wait, what?
A lot of half-truth was in that. Definitely was a lot of half-truth in that.
Yeah.
Okay.
All right. Well, thank you, Mama. Hello, who's this?
This is Letitia.
Hey, Letitia.
And I love the movie, you guys.
You loved it?
Okay.
I did.
Okay, yes.
Good. Okay.
So tell us what you loved about it.
Because it showed vulnerable parts about her. Whether it was true or not, you guys, you have to admit, just her being able to tell that type of story showed a different side of Wendy that somebody is going to actually learn from, and it's going to encourage somebody out there. Even the rape thing, there's someone out there today that because of what Wendy showed, that person's going to say, you know what, let me tell this in therapy, or let me tell, you know, my mom, or let me tell my dad that this happened to me. Everybody loves Wendy, but she's valid in a lot of circles, you guys. She really is.
Well, a lot of those stories, you know, she's been telling for years on the radio, and you know, they were in her first book, if you ever read her first book. But I get what you're saying. This is a new generation.
Yeah, I'm sure they will learn from it. It's not that, Charlamagne. So I didn't start hearing about Wendy until I moved to Delaware, and that was in 2005. So there's people who never, like my mom, for instance. My mom hates Wendy Williams, but she watched the movie, and now she's looking at her differently.
Mm-hmm.
You know, she's,
I get that,
looking at her differently. Yeah, she encourages me just because of her story and just because she's a woman and where she's been able to. Angela, just like you, just because where you guys have been able to get yourself is encouraging to women. Whether, you know, there's going to be part, because this is Wendy, she's going to tell her story, but that's what we all do. We want to be able to tell our story, and that's what she did. She told her story the way she believes it.
Right.
You know, and there's fragments in there that I'm pretty sure are true, but I think it was needed. And the documentary, for me, you guys, was a lot better than the movie.
Mm-hmm. Me too.
I agree.
Me too.
I watched it twice. I watched it twice, and it gave me something this morning, you know?
Right.
Okay.
Listen, regardless, right, it was entertaining enough that people have already watched it twice. Everyone was talking about it. It was trending.
Yeah. All right. Thank you, Mama. 800-585-1051. Let's take some more calls. A lot of people on the lines. Let's talk about the Wendy Williams movie. What were your thoughts? It's The Breakfast Club. Good morning.
It's topic time. Pick up the phone, baby. Call 800-585-1051 to join into the discussion with The Breakfast Club. Talk
about it. Morning, everybody. It's DJ Envy, Angela Yee, Charlamagne Tha God. We are The Breakfast Club. Now, if you just join us, we're talking about the Wendy Williams movie and documentary. What were your thoughts? All right, let's go to the phone lines. Hello, who's this?
This is Kim / Kigo in Columbus, represent Columbus, Cincinnati, in Ohio.
What did you think of the doc, man, the movie?
And actually, sorry, I got a frog in my voice this morning, but I am a female. I got a deep voice, okay?
Sorry. So sorry.
No, you cool. I understood Wendy's story, okay? Wendy fell in love. I understand a lot was fabricated for TV. I get it. But at the core of it, she fell in love with an African-American male. She didn't go out, nothing against what outside the race, but she wanted a brother. She liked it rough on the edges. She accepted him for him. He accepted her for her. But at the end of the story, anybody that does not understand why everybody has a breaking point. It was about him having another baby. Now, women can sit here all day long and say, I would have left a long time ago. She was in love. Her self-esteem when she was a kid was low, but she fell in love. So I think we need to stop blaming African-American women for being as strong as they are and staying with our brothers, and it's their fault. No. The breaking point was on Pillow Talk. He knew she had miscarriages. He knew he fought that fight with her. And then to go have another baby, that blew the top off.
Wendy would always say that. Wendy was like, I can forgive cheating, but I can't forgive a baby.
She meant it.
Yeah, that wasn't cool. But I just wanted to say I love your show. I love your show. You guys spit knowledge through the whole campaign, through everything. I appreciate you. Keep doing what you're doing, okay?
Thank you. Hello, who's this?
It's Ken from Fayetteville.
Hey, what's up, man? What do you think about the Wendy Williams movie?
Well, for me, man, I was in Philadelphia from 03 to 05, and I was especially there for the Wendy Williams show, so I didn't bother to watch it because I seen the trailer and it really wasn't what was portrayed throughout the city.
How you ain't see the movie, but you called to make you give your opinion, man?
You ain't see.
I seen the trailer, y'all.
I seen the trailer. Stop, man. Goodbye, man.
Even though I don't like how she brushed by Philly. Like I said, Philly played a very pivotal role in her career, and I don't think she took the time to properly big up Philly. And, you know, big up people who helped her in her journey. You know what I mean? Like a Helen Little. You know, our The Morning Team that she did the show with in Philly. Kobe Cole, D-Lee. D-Lee is where she got How You Doing from. Carter and Sanborn. You know what I mean? I just thought the radio part of it, a lot more love could have been shown.
All right. All right. Well, we got rumors on the way, Yee.
Oh, wait a minute. And moral of the story. I think Wendy deserves all the flowers. But I really hope she gets real healing one day. Because she experienced a lot of hurt, so she hurt a lot of people, and she's been mentally, emotionally, and physically abused her whole life. Her sister Wanda said something real interesting in the doc, which she said when Wendy's life was like falling apart the last couple of years, Wendy thought it was because of all the dirt she had thrown on people. And I thought that was a very interesting observation for her to have. So, yeah, I appreciate everything I learned from her, but a half-truth is still a whole lie to me.
All right, now we got rumors on the way.
Well, we'll talk some more, Wendy. This person has written a statement about Wendy Williams in response to some things that Wendy Williams has had to say about her and her family. And I'll tell you who that person is, but she did say that Wendy will forever be one of the most miserable bitches on the planet.
I can't believe Sherina Hudson would send you a statement.
Shut up, man.
Nope. It's crazy. Not Sherina Hudson.
Shut up. That came from Charlamagne, but we'll talk about it next. It's The Breakfast Club. Good morning. Morning, everybody. It's DJ Envy, Angela Yee, Charlamagne Tha Guy. We are The Breakfast Club. Let's get to the rumors. Let's talk more Wendy Williams.
It's about time.
What's going on? Yeah.
Rumor report. Rumor report.
This is The Rumor Report. Talk to him. With Angela Yee on The Breakfast Club.
All right. Well, Method Man's wife, Tamika, has spoken out and she's released a statement on her Instagram page in response to what Wendy Williams had to say about Method Man. She was talking to DJ Sus One and here's what she said.
The only thing I did, I smoked a blunt with Method Man while I gave him a bath and it was a one night stand. And he'll deny it. Maybe not. You know,
that wasn't in the movie.
It wasn't in the movie because Method Man is still very angry at me.
But what?
I don't know. For being me. It was one night.
All right. Well, Tamika broke it down on her social media on Instagram. She said, for years, I kept my silence. And this is the first time she's ever addressed this at all, by the way. Mm-hmm. While Wendy Williams launched constant verbal attacks against my husband, myself, and our family. In the past, I ignored her lies, innuendos, and blatant attempts to provoke us. But Wendy has proven again and again that she is incapable of any decency. Her obsession with our lives has reached a new low, and I'm tired of taking the high road. In an obvious attempt to increase ratings for her sad biopic, her struggling TV show, and her burnt out career, Wendy has once again targeted my husband. It's a pattern that she has repeated for years. When I was diagnosed with cancer years ago, Wendy shared my personal medical information with her listeners live on the air during her radio broadcast. She didn't care that she was violating my right to privacy or that I hadn't shared the news of my diagnosis with my family and friends yet. She never apologized, never expressed any regret whatsoever. Despite my anger, I chose not to respond publicly to her unhealthy fixation with my husband and our marriage. It was clear that she was sick and that she was struggling with a lot of issues, including self-hate and low self-esteem. Over the years, those issues have made her increasingly ugly, both inside and out, and no amount of plastic surgery can fix the ugliness inside of her. Instead of using her platform to uplift women, she has spent her career attacking marriages while her own fell apart. She criticized celebrities battling addictions despite her own struggles with substance abuse. There's no limit to how low she will go in the name of making headlines. She goes on to say, for the record, my marriage is solid. My husband continues to enjoy a successful career and Wendy will forever be one of the most miserable bitches on the planet.
Jesus Christ. I mean, look, a lot of valid points made. You know, Wendy is miserable. And that's why I send her healing energy because I've never seen her happy before in my life. And yes, she should apologize to Tamika and her family because you don't do that to people.
I mean, Sussman didn't even ask the question. You wanted to say that. And Method Man, Tamika, y'all should have sued Wendy Williams a long time ago when she released that information. That was against the law to release that information. You should have sued her. You should have sued the station. You should have made sure that never happened ever again, because what that did was foul. That information should have never been out unless you wanted to put that information. Now, we've been here, you know, doing the Breakfast Club for a long time now, and there's times when we say something to an artist and the artist has said, hey, you know, I don't want that information out. My family doesn't even know. And we went back on some of the stuff that we've done. So we know what's right, and that was foul.
Well, Meth did want to sue, though, because I remember when Meth came to the radio station one day after Wendy and Kelvin were on the air kicking his back in, and he came to the station, and that was one of the reasons he did come to the station, because he was like, yo, I just need to know who at the hospital gave you that information so I can file a lawsuit.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
Right.
And he should have whooped. He was there during that time, right? Like,
Wendy can't act like she doesn't know why Method Man has an issue with her. Of course he has an issue with you. Yeah. You revealed his wife's cancer diagnosis before she had a chance to address her own family.
Yes.
Of course. And
you was there when you were working there during that time, Charlamagne?
Yeah, I was on the air that day, and Kelvin and Wendy was kicking Meth back in, and Kelvin walked downstairs, and I guess as he was walking down, Meth was coming up. I'm shocked that they didn't see each other. And the secretary was like, Method Man's in the lobby. So I called Kelvin. I'm like, yo, Meth's in the lobby. And he was like, yo, for what? I'm like, yo, you know for what. He's like, well, go out there and see what he wants. So my dumb ass went out there to go see what Method Man wanted. And me and Meth had a conversation. And, you know, he wanted the information from the hospital, you know. And of course, he wasn't happy about what Wendy and Kev was saying. But needless to say, Kev never brought his monkey ass back up to that station, even though I know he was probably right downstairs. But he did not come back up when he knew Meth was in the lobby.
Meth should have whooped all.
Don't want those problems. All right. So that statement, again, is on Tamika's Instagram page. If you want to read the full statement of what she had to say about Wendy Williams and Wendy still harassing her and her family. But I think after, you know, decades of having to deal with this, she finally felt like this was her breaking point. Just leave us alone. Stop talking about my family.
And shout out to Tamika. Right. I don't know her, but shout out to her for being so damn strong. Shout out to you.
Yeah. I mean, and they're still together and still happily married. Meth is still doing well. So this is the first time we heard her mention this, and she kept calling him Redman. All right. Now, Chloe from Chloe and Halle went on Instagram yesterday, and she was talking about her own journey to self-love. And here's what she had to say.
And for so long, I used to think I was like fat, and like I used to hate my stretch marks and my cellulite. I'm not going to cry. But it's like now I really love who I am. When I see all the uproar about my posts and stuff, I'm a bit confused. Like, I really don't understand, because I've never seen myself in that way or in that light. So I take it as a huge compliment that you all even think of me as a sexual, sexy being.
Man, I love Chloe and Halle.
Yeah, what am I missing? Mm-hmm. People slandering her or something?
Yeah, they were mad at her.
Yeah, they were kind of like shaming her for, you know, posting the videos that she posted. And I felt like a lot of people were like, okay, you know, get it, girl. But then there were people that had some things to say about her being sexy and issues with that. Yeah, it's ridiculous.
Chloe, that's just hate. Okay, it's called hate. All right. Do we not realize how miserable people are? So when they see you online enjoying your life and other people enjoying you, they get jealous and they get envious. It's called hate. That's all it is. Okay.
Mm-hmm.
And in life, now, you got to remember the rule of 10, too. Three people going to like it. Three people not going to like it. Four people going to be on the fence about it. Like, for people not to like something, that's just natural. I wouldn't even pay that.
You know what else? It's hard for her, too. She's apart from her little sister, Halle, and Halle has started filming The Little Mermaid. She's got a starring role in that. And they were on Instagram Live together, and it got very emotional.
I just miss my sister's bright personality, her positive energy always around. She's literally the sun, because she just makes everything just feel like brighter and better. And that's what I miss the most about my sister.
Halle!
Yeah. So it's just, I don't know, it's different. And then I'm the little sister, so being away just really, like, tugs at my heart.
Oh, you're going to make me cry.
They are so sweet. I really like
it. Yeah, yes, and my my 5-year-old and my 2-year-old are like that with each other. I love watching that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and they're very, like, I've interviewed them a few times, and I've talked to them about... what is it, Grownish, that they're on, right? Grownish. And just the sweetest, nicest young women, super talented, so dope. I've seen them perform. Like, they are amazing girls. So let's show them some love. All right. That is your rumor report.
All right. Thank you, Miss Yee. Now, Charlamagne, who are you giving that donkey to?
Well, since I got traumatized by this video, I might as well put y'all onto the story so y'all can be traumatized too. We need police officers in Rochester to come to the front of the congregation. We'd like to have a word with them on this fine Monday morning, first day of Black History Month.
All right, we'll get to that next. It's The Breakfast Club. Good morning.
Hey, girlfriends, it's me, Carol Fisher. I'm so excited to tell you about the brand new series of The Girlfriends. In season one, we told you about the murder of Gail Katz at the hands of my ex-boyfriend, Bob. At one point, a woman's torso washed up on Staten Island and was misidentified as Gail. She spent 9 years in Gail's grave, and then she just disappeared.
It's almost like it's become this moral obligation to find her.
And that's what we're going to do. Find this missing girlfriend and tell her story. With the help of some of your favorite girlfriends from season one, like my producer, Anna.
Oh my God.
My friend, Dr. Mindy Shapiro.
Hi, it's Dr. Shapiro, and I'd like to speak with the deputy medical examiner.
And of course, Gail's sister, Elaine Katz.
Having no closure, it kills you.
Join us as we try to solve a 35-year-old cold case. It's not going to be easy, but it's going to be one hell of a ride.
What?
I can't believe this.
Listen to season two of The Girlfriends, Our Lost Sister on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Danielle Moody here, host of the Woke AF Daily podcast. We've been with iHeart's Outspoken Network for a year, and what a year it has been. Every weekday, I navigate our rapidly changing world alongside our series of fabulous expert guests. As we head deeper into 2024 and yet another life-changing election cycle, Woke AF Daily is here to keep you sane and woke. Woke not just to the latest headlines, but also to the collective power we all have. Woke to the need to build community with those around us. Woke to how to avoid burnout, and woke to the ways we can all find joy in the madness. Make Woke AF Daily with Danielle Moody your podcast destination for 2024 election news and analysis. And tune in to hear the ways I am working to stay grounded amidst it all. Listen to Woke AF Daily Season 5 on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Hey, everybody. Welcome to Across Generations, where the voices of Black women unite in powerful conversations. I'm your host, Tiffany Cross.
Tiffany Cross.
I want you all to join me and be a part of sisterhood, friendship, wisdom, and laughter. In every episode, we gather a seasoned elder.
But even with a child, there's no such thing as the wrong thing if you love them.
Myself, as the middle generation. I don't feel like I have to get married at this big age in life, but it is a desire I have and something that I've navigated in dating. And a vibrant young soul for engaging intergenerational conversations.
I'm very jealous of your generation that didn't have to deal with Instagram and Tinder.
This is Across Generations, where Black women's voices unite, and together, you know how we do, we create magic. Listen to Across Generations podcast on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
It's time for Donkey of the Day.
Donkeys of the Day, ask Charlamagne.
I'm a Democrat, so being Donkey of the Day is a little bit of a mixed blend.
So like a donkey.
Yeehaw.
Okay.
Donkey of the Day.
The Breakfast Club, bitch.
Now, I've been called a lot in my 23 years, but Donkey of the Day is right, a new guys. One.
It's Monday, man. Donkey of the Day for Monday, February 1st, the first day of Black History Month, goes to police officers in Rochester, New York. I hate when they don't identify these officers as individuals. The reason I believe they don't is to protect their safety, protect their identities. Maybe they don't want to bring shame to their fellow police officers, even though they deserve all the shame this society could possibly give them. Now, I don't even know how I ended up watching this video yesterday, because I am not the person who actively seeks trauma via social media. What I mean by that is all the videos of police brutality that circulate online and folks share with each other, and it enrages you, outrages you, traumatizes you, and we share that trauma with each other for whatever reason. I don't look for those. All right. To me, these videos should be used as evidence in a court of law. But hell, I don't even think they hold up in court because we see cops victimizing us all the time on camera and nothing happens but a BS investigation and some paid administrative leave. OK, even though there's never anything to investigate because we all got eyes and can see what the hell is happening on the video. So I don't know what the point of any of these videos are except to traumatize us. And that's exactly what the video of the Rochester Police Department handcuffing and pepper spraying a 9-year-old girl did to me. Yes, you heard right. Rochester police handcuffed and pepper sprayed a 9-year-old girl. I can't make this kind of stuff up. Let's go to WHAM ABC 13 for the report, please.
What started as a family trouble call ended with a 9-year-old girl in the back of a police cruiser, handcuffed, then pepper sprayed.
Here's the girl at this point.
The incident again raising questions about the use of excessive force by Rochester police.
This is your last chance, otherwise pepper spray is going in your eyeballs. Come on, let's go.
The girl pepper sprayed by an officer after failing to comply with police. The call came Friday afternoon for the initial report of family trouble and a possible stolen vehicle. Ultimately, city officials say the child was suicidal, threatening to cause harm to herself and others.
Seriously. What about a badge in a uniform makes you forget you too are human? Does this badge in a uniform just automatically make you a sociopath? Like, you got called to this house and told that this young 9-year-old girl was suicidal and that she indicated that she wanted to kill herself and she wanted to kill her mom. First of all, police shouldn't be responding to this. Where is the mental health team? Where is the mental health crisis unit? If you know this 9-year-old girl is having a potential manic episode, how does this end with her being victimized and treated like a criminal? How do you officers treat your own kids? Mm-mm. When you see officers treat other people's kids like this, doesn't it make you want to send child services to their house to make sure everything is okay? Because there have been studies that have found at least 40% of police officers' families experience domestic violence. When you see the way these officers manhandle women in the streets, it's not hard to believe that, okay? That's what they're doing at home as well. And the same goes for kids. If you see officers treat kids like this in the street, how do you think they're treating their own kids at home? I don't know, but it's worth an investigation. Now, of course, Mike Mazzini, who is the president of the Rochester Police Union, he defended the officers' actions. Let's listen.
The head of the Rochester Police Union defended the officers responding to that call. Union President Mike Mazzio saying those criticizing the handling of that incident have never been in that position. He also added that it's easier for the city to blame the officers than come up with solutions. Mazzio also said that every situation is different and he feels the police responding that day did everything by the book.
You know, when you read the studies of 40% of police officers' families experiencing domestic violence, it gives three reasons why this is. I'm not going to read all three, but the third really stands out because it says, and I quote, the officer who is abusing them knows how to manipulate the system to avoid penalty and or shift blame to the victim. This is how they do it. When you have guys like the Mike guy, you know, who's the head of the police union, making excuses for these cops' piss-poor behavior and saying that they did everything by the book. He's absolutely wrong, okay? And they need to burn whatever book it is that's telling them that this is how they should move, okay? He's also wrong when he says none of us have been in that situation. Plenty of us have children, young 9-year-old kids. A lot of folks out there have children who are special needs. A lot of folks have children who deal with mental health issues. There are mental health care workers who deal with kids like this all the time. Ask those folks how many times they've had to put the kid in handcuffs and pepper spray them to restrain them. Just ask them. I would like for you to survey those people I just mentioned and ask them how many times if they had to handcuff a 9-year-old and pepper spray them, okay, to restrain them. See, it's the lack of compassion and empathy for me, and I felt so bad for that young girl listening to her scream out for her father. Because I would never want to be a father in that situation. Because what if her father would have showed up in that moment and chose violence? He would have been absolutely justified to do so. But then he would have been killed. If you did that to a 9-year-old girl, then we know what you would do to her father who showed up, saw what you was doing to her, and then defended her. I don't see how anyone can make excuses for this. I don't see how anyone can justify this. The girl was 9. and it was five officers, five big grown police officers, and this 9-year-old girl, and y'all couldn't restrain her without handcuffs and pepper spray. How is that protecting and serving? Let me tell you something, man. Whatever y'all doing is not working, all right? That book that the head of the police union was talking about, saying that they did everything by it, throw it out, all right? People get more offended by the slogan defund the police than they do to actions like this that make folks say, see, this is why the police need to be defunded. If this is what taxpayer dollars are paying for, then taxpayers should demand a refund and better service, okay? I don't have any bright ideas. I have no solutions whatsoever. I'm just shining a light on the problem, okay? I'm shining a light on this so we can constantly have examples on what exactly needs to be changed. I just honestly don't know how to change it. Please let Chelsea Handler give the Rochester Police Department the biggest hee-haw.
Hee-haw! Hee-haw! That is way too much Dan Mayonnaise.
Goodness gracious. Mm-hmm. All right. Well, thank you for that donkey of the day. Now, when we come back, Plies, did he say this audio or did he just write it on Instagram or Twitter? Do we have the audio?
No, we don't have audio.
I think it was just Twitter.
He said, dear black business owners, stop wanting me to spend my money with you and shop with you just because you black. Make me want to spend money with you because you got a good product, good customer service, and a good price point. Because if that's bad, I don't want it no matter what color you are.
All right. Well, let's talk about it. 800-585-1051. Should you support a black business just because they are black? Let's talk about it. We'll take your phone calls when we come back. 800-585-1051. It's The Breakfast Club. Good morning.
Pull out your phone.
Call in right now. Call me. Add your opinion to The Breakfast Club topic.
Break it down.
800-585-1051.
The Breakfast Club.
Morning, everybody. It's DJ Envy, Angela Yee, Charlamagne Tha Guy. We are The Breakfast Club. Now, if you just joined us, we're talking about this tweet that Plies put out. Yee, you got the tweet?
Yes, he said, dear black business owners, stop wanting me to spend my money with you and shop with you just because you black. Make me want to spend money with you because you got a good product, good customer service, and a good price point. Because if that's bad, I don't know. I don't want it no matter what color you is.
Yeah, I mean, listen, it's nuanced to what Plies said, right? Like, it's actually a couple of things going on in that tweet. Number one, yes. You should support a black business just because they're black. If somebody tells me something is black owned, yes, I will shop with that person just because they are black and for no other reason. And correct. There is nothing wrong with that. All right. And there's nothing wrong with a business owner, a black business owner, expecting black people to support them just because they are black, because usually the black business owner is building something that they believe black people will appreciate. So the whole for us, by us concept, that's a real thing. So yes, I support just because it's black. But I won't return if the product sucks at the end of the day. Okay. Correct. The product has to be good. So the blackness gets me there. The good product keeps me. And as far as price point, I'll spend a little more with the black owned business if the product is good.
Correct.
If the product is good, I'll spend more with the black owned business. Regardless.
Yeah, but customer service has to be on point too. Like you know, I think that's what gets me going to a lot of different places over and over again. They have amazing customer service, so I think that's something that we always have to pay attention to. Also,
absolutely. Even with the real estate business and the stocks, I always try to somebody that looks like me because I feel like they understand me. So if it's for me getting a loan, I go to the brother first to see what he can do. So if it goes to my attorney, I'll go to Sabine first. Like there's different attorneys and different places. I try to go with my own first. That's my main. But like Charlamagne said, if the business is bad, I won't return. But let's go to the phone lines. Hello, who's this?
This is Star.
Hey, good morning. Now we're asking shopping with black businesses. Do you shop with black businesses regardless of anything? Let's talk about it.
No. I am a black business owner. I absolutely don't think that every person, black or white, should even be a business owner. Because not everybody knows how to service customers. And I just dealt with That's this true. At my house with a black contractor. And he has completely put me off from black contractors. Like, I'm going big business next time.
Well, should it be black contractors or just bad contractors? Because contractors are shady people regardless.
Yeah, they're cons. That's the whole word. Cons.
Exactly.
They are cons.
My daddy's a contractor, but these contractors, I'm dealing with contractors now, boy. You got to watch them.
Yeah, you were just telling me a story the other day how he tried to charge you what, triple?
Yes, so they will bleed you dry if you let them.
Mm-hmm. It's crazy. My contractor sent me an invoice before he was even done with the work. Like, we didn't do a walk-off or anything. Mercy. I don't know.
But Lord,
Mama, that's contractors. And I tell everybody that all the time. Contractors will use your money to finish somebody else's job and then have to get some more money to finish your job. That is contractors. And on a side note, Mama, I don't know what you're doing, but if you can, buy all the materials yourself. You know what I mean? That way, all he has to do is just install it and you're paying him an hourly rate. But if you can, buy all the stuff yourself. Buy the flooring, buy the sheetrock, the nails, the studs. Buy it yourself so you ain't got to worry about it.
A couple weeks ago, because he's already done. But,
damn it, man.
But, and the work was shoddy, so.
Damn it, man.
But don't let, yeah, and don't let it turn you off from black contractors. That's just a contract.
Yeah, all contractors are a mess.
Word. You just got to find the right contractor.
As ye.
Yeah, I had a lot of issues.
Real quick. Completely off topic, Charlamagne, I just want to thank you for your book, Black Privilege.
Yes, ma'am.
Because that was the reason why I actually started my business. You had when you were talking about how you were working for free at first, and sometimes you have to go out and put your foot out there and do things if you're trying to get to a certain place, and it kind of just pushed me forward and started my event planning business. So I just want to thank you.
That's dope. Salute to you, Queen. I'm happy I could inspire you in some way. That's dope.
Do you want to name your business too, so people could look you up?
I'm in Virginia. I service the Hampton Roads area. It's 2010 Events and Design by Star on Facebook, Instagram, and 2010events.com.
All right, Mama.
All right.
I'm gonna look you up because we do so many homecoming parties and homecoming events. So we'll look you up and try to get you some more business. 800-585-1051. We're asking. Plus, put this tweet up. You want to read the tweet one more time, me?
Yes, he was talking about black business owners, and he said, "Dear black business owners, stop wanting me to spend my money with you and shop with you just because you black. Make me want to spend money with you because you got a good product, good customer service, and a good price point, because if that's bad, I don't want it no matter what color you is."
All right. Well, what are your thoughts on that? Supporting black businesses? Call us up. It's The Breakfast Club. Good morning. I know when
Call me.
Add your opinion to the Breakfast Club topic.
Come on.
800-585-1051.
Morning, everybody. It's DJ Envy, Angela Yee, Charlamagne Tha Guy. We are The Breakfast Club. Now, if you just joined us, we're talking about a tweet that Plies put out about supporting black businesses. Now, it says, "Dear black business owners, stop wanting me to spend my money with you and shop with you just because you are black. Make me want to spend money with you because you got a good product, good customer service, and a good price point. Because if that's bad, I don't want it no matter what your color is." So we're asking 800-585-1051. What are your thoughts? Let's go to the phone lines. Hello, who's this?
Hi, this is Cassidy from Orlando.
Hey, good morning. We're talking about supporting black businesses. What are your thoughts?
Okay, so my thoughts are, yes, depending on certain products, I will look initially to support black businesses. I have a lot of friends of mine that are local black business owners. But what I think a lot of black business owners don't understand is that you have a lot of other people, also brown people, and also people of other ethnicities doing and selling the same thing. You have to find out what is going to separate you from that. And sometimes it's going to be your price point. Maybe it's going to be your customer service. Maybe it's going to be the product itself. But a lot of black business owners don't take the initiative to really understand what it is to really own a business. Some just want to pop up one day and say, "Hey, I'm selling this," not really understanding what it is to run, to actually have a good black-owned business and really do what you're supposed to do for yourself and your community. So I will support a black business, but a lot of black businesses make it very, very hard to do
but
that.
But you also got to understand that a lot of businesses, especially black businesses, this is first generation. So they're figuring it out as they go. You know, a lot of these other businesses, they've had family members that own businesses, that own all types of firms, that created companies before. A lot of the stuff that we, even myself, even buying a house, like this was really, my parents were the first ones in their family to, you know, in their family to buy a house, but they couldn't really teach me because they didn't know. So I had to figure it out on my own. I had to take those bumps and bruises. My kids will know because I'm able to teach them, you know?
By the way, y'all treat black-owned businesses differently than y'all treat others. Y'all don't give black-owned businesses no grace at all.
That is true.
Absolutely. We are our own worst enemy sometimes. So on both ends, we have to support, but the black businesses in envy. With you being first generation, you took those bumps and bruises. But along the way, I'm sure
you were treating the people that you were selling the houses to, you were, had really good communicative skills. You weren't, you know, trying to bust people over the head with prices and things of that nature. Yes, we're in the business for profit, but that shouldn't be your goal. And sometimes that is the only goal. And this is solely from my experience.
No, I get it. But that was the reason why I got into doing the seminars.
I will always support a black business before I initially support a white business. Absolutely. Because, again, I have friends who have black businesses.
Right. So, absolutely.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
Well, thank you, Mama. That was the reason why I got into seminars, and most people don't know that. I got into seminars because there was people that looked like me charging people $10,000 and $7,000 to teach them how to purchase a home and to flip, and that irked the ish out of me. Because I'm like, if you have that much money, don't give it to him. I'd rather you use that money and invest in a home. So that's the only reason why we started the seminar. I was like, that's highway robbery. That's robbery with no mask. Like, no, you don't do that to your own people because they see you successful and people want to get success. So they using their savings to try to do that. And that's the reason. That's the only reason why we did seminars and the reason why I try to help so many people get into homes. I want to see more of my own living in homes and not renting and owning their own home and passing homes down to their kids and teaching their kids how to home ownership and investments. That's the reason why I'm so hard on it.
I agree with you.
What's the moral of the story?
The moral of the story is you should support a black owned business just because it's black. Black owners should expect black customers to support them, but the product has to be good to keep us coming back.
Correct. Mm-hmm.
And if it's a brand new business, sometimes you got to give it a shot. Because I've been places where the first time I went, you know, there's sometimes some kinks you have to get rid of and iron out, and then things get better. So sometimes if it's brand new, it just opened this week, give it a little bit of time.
I don't know about that. I'm going to give you one shot. One shot only. If the food is disgusting and bad, I ain't going back.
There's restaurants that I've been to when they first opened, and then it's so much better now. Like,
maybe I need
it just sometimes day. Things don't work right away.
Yeah, you're right. All right. Well,
yeah, we got to give each other grace.
Yeah,
we definitely got to give each other grace.
You're right. All right. Well, we got rumors up next. What are we talking about?
Yes, T.I. has responded to these sexual assault allegations. He put an Instagram PSA out.
All right. We'll get into that next. Keep it locked. It's The Breakfast Club. Good morning.
Wake up. It's The Breakfast Club.
Good morning. Let me say a happy birthday to my wife. Today is my wife's birthday, February 1st. So I just brought her some breakfast, bacon. She likes three eggs over easy, a croissant, and then a sausage. That's my sausage, by the way.
Whoa. Yeah. Ew.
Happy born day, Gia. Drop on the clues bombs for Gia.
Yeah, we can't do anything today. Well, we can't do anything because we're in a pandemic, really. But it's snowing. It's nasty. It's a state of emergency here, so we ain't going anywhere. So we just gonna make snow angels later on.
Fun things in the house.
Yeah, we did that all last night. But when you got five kids running around, it's kind of hard to do fun things. So we just gonna be outside. But anyway,
fun is not all just sexual envy. Okay.
Yeah, I didn't say anything about sex. What's wrong with you?
Jesus Christ! Get your mind.
You are disgusting.
Have five kids, guys. Come on, grow up. Let's get to the rumors. Let's talk T.I.
It's time.
She's spilling the tea.
This is the Rumor Report with Angela Yee on The Breakfast Club.
Well, T.I. has taken some time to respond to these sexual assault allegations. And these are from their former friend, Sabrina Peterson. There's multiple women, according to her, that allege that they were drugged and assaulted by the couple at different times. Now, she also says that T.I. pulled a gun out on her during a prior altercation. And T.I. explains why he hasn't said much yet, even though there's all these rumors going around. And Sabrina had been posting statements from different people. And it turns out, looking at some blogs, some random people were just sending in some statements to see if she would post them. So none of what she posted was vetted out and confirmed in any way. So T.I. says this is the motive behind the allegations.
If a person does not have any right to criminally or civilly have you in court, the best thing they could do, it gets you for a defamation. That's the strategy. That's the intention. Say a whole bunch of false stuff about you that get people to believe and make them come out and say they're a liar, they're a liar, they're a liar. And then they can say, see, they call me a liar. That's defamation. Then they drag you in court, get you under oath and all that. Because unfortunately, right now, it doesn't matter as much what they can prove you did. It matters what you can prove you didn't.
Well, he goes on to talk about believing all women. This is what he said.
Women who have been victimized deserve to be heard. Black women, in particular, should be supported, protected, defended, and uplifted. However, evil has no gender. Now, what we're not going to do is open up the door to my bedroom for everybody to come in, chime in, and make their opinions about what we do and don't do or should or shouldn't do. But I will say this. Whatever we ever have done has been done with consensual adults who into what we into and like what we like.
Yeah, I don't even really understand how this became headlines. If I get on social media and I say, send me stories on such and such individual, do you realize how many of these digital D-heads will send you stories just to get reposted? People get off on seeing things they created or came up with go viral. So how do we know any of those stories were real? They all could have been completely fabricated, but you see certain sites just posting it because they don't care. They just want the traffic. Also notice that certain sites didn't even report on the story until T.I. replied to it, denying the allegations, because up until that point, it's not a story. Certain outlets have to vet these things before they post them. They can't just repost anything because now they are liable. And I want everybody to have that same level of journalistic integrity.
Well, and a lot of these sites, though, aren't real news sites. They're just there to report on gossip. So
yeah, it's hard. That's a defamation of his character. Yeah, I mean, he could have had deals. He could have had movies he was trying to do, endorsements, and they all shut it down because of these fake stories. And now he has to go back and prove that these stories are fake, which is foul.
Now, T.I. is denying the allegations. Well, here's what he said. Here's T.I. denying.
Okay.
We ain't never forced nobody. We ain't never drugged nobody against their will. We ain't never held nobody against their will. We ain't never trafficked anything, sexually trafficked anything. I ain't never raped nobody. Also, I'm going to tell you what's factual. There have been fake stories put up that blog sites anonymously sent to this person. And what this does is it dismantles the mechanism that women have created for themselves. You can't weaponize something with baseless claims. These are not stories of actual events, and I have proof of that.
Yeah, nobody cares about the truth when the lie is more entertaining, and the truth is never as loud as the lie. Because I saw some sites reporting on how, you know, I guess it was kids or online trolls sending out these stories because they know they would be reposted, and they were laughing about it. But I didn't see any real major outlets reporting that.
Mm-hmm. All right. Well, that is T.I.'s response to all of the drama. And I just want to give one more shout out to Bridgerton. That is Netflix's biggest show ever. And I told y'all this show is amazing. Envy, you watched it. Charlamagne, you still haven't watched it. You got to watch it.
I haven't watched it yet.
Yeah, it's pretty good. Yeah, so it seems like all my wife's friends, they have chats. They talk about it. They talk about the one scene where the dude was licking the spoon. It's a show that the sexual scenes are very passionate, and the show is passionate. A lot of people seem to love it. My wife is happy that it's coming back another season. So,
and shout out to Cardi B also. And we're not going to have a chance to play this audio, but she did say she has an announcement that she's making today. Is it going to be new music? Let's see what it is. But yes, we'll be looking forward to that announcement. And congrats to Kelly Rowland. She gave birth to a second son. So nice. Congratulations to her, Noah John Weatherspoon.
Dropping the cruise bombs for the Godiva Chocolate Goddess, Kelly Rowland. Salute to my guy, Tim Spoon. Congrats on y'all.
Yeah, congrats.
New addition to the beautiful family.
Mm-hmm.
All right. Well, I'm Angela Yee, and that's your Rumor Report.
And it's Black History Month. So you know, of course, it's Black History Month. We have to represent for our black people. And who we representing today, Charlamagne?
Today, on the first day of Black History Month, we have to salute a new Black History Month legend who has solidified her spot in the Black History books when it comes to dating, going together, seeing somebody, whatever you want to call it. This young lady has done to men what men have done historically to women, and that's simply whatever the hell she wants. Ladies and gentlemen, today's new Black History Month legend, Lori Harvey.
The Breakfast Club presents a new Black History Month legend.
That's right. Today's Black History Month legend, Lori Harvey. You can't be mad at a young lady living her life. She don't love him. She might f*** him. She don't chase him. She ducks him and replaces him with another one. According to Distractify, Lori Harvey's hit list includes Dutch football player Memphis Depay, Justin Combs, Trey Songz, Justin's dad Diddy, Future, and now Michael B. Jordan. Drop one of Clues Bombs for Lori Harvey's player ways. Big step. She's been on Meek Mill's wish list.
I got Lori Harvey on my wish list. That's the only thing I want for Christmas.
And when we reached out to Future for comment, he had one word to describe Lori Harvey.
Sensational.
Where did she get this game from? Well, she got it from her mama. Let's listen to some of the game Marjorie Harvey has given Lori over the years.
When it comes to dating, my mom has nothing to worry about. I got this.
Don't ever try to fit in when God has clearly created you to stand out. Always be a lady. And understand, you are the prize.
Yes, Marjorie. Lori is indeed standing out. And we can't wait to see who she does next.
And that was another new Black History Month legend, courtesy of The Breakfast Club.
All right, Charlamagne, thank you for that Black History Month moment. Now, when we come back, we got the positive note. It's The Breakfast Club. Good morning. Morning, everybody. It's DEJ Envy, Angela Yee, Charlamagne Tha Guy. We are The Breakfast Club. Good morning. Let me shout out to Miss Jones. Miss Jones is a woman that got me my first start in mornings. When I was on the other station, she had a show and I was her co-host. And I haven't spoke to her in 13 years before the holidays. We kind of ended on a he say, she say kind of bad terms. And we spoke during the holidays and we just got everything out. And some of the things, well, all the things that she heard were wrong. And we were able to talk. We talked about, you know, our kids and our family. And she said she wanted to get back into the game and she was excited. And we started with the Miss Jones reunion show, which is, you know, a show where we just talk about some of the good times and bad times of that morning show. And she released the podcast today. So I want you guys to go check it out. She's going to get back into radio. So I'm excited for Miss Jones. So shout her, holla and say what's up to Miss Jones and definitely check that out. So shout out to Miss Jones. If it wasn't for her, I definitely wouldn't be doing mornings right now. She gave me that bug and gave me that opportunity. And when people give you that opportunity, you make sure you appreciate and show how grateful you are. So thank you to Miss Jones.
All right now. And I want to give a shout out to everybody that supported my store out here in Detroit. We did a little VIP event yesterday. We kept it small, but thanks to DeLeon and to Ciroc for providing the liquor. And She Bartender is actually a Black woman-owned business. And they have like a mobile bar that they bring places and they can set up and do everything for you. So thank you to She Bartender. But Private Label is officially open in Detroit on 8 Mile and DeQuinder. So if you are in town and you want to stop by, come through. Shout out to my girl, Jennifer Williams. We went to high school together. Basketball wise is about to start. She's in Detroit. So she came through. Bernard Bronner from the Bronner Brothers. He came through. Everybody that came by and showed some love. Nisha Nache, that's my girl from out here in Detroit. Appreciate you all. I have my 55-inch U-part wig. Thank you, Dallas, for making that wig. It took him 4 days to actually make that wig and color it to match my hair.
All right. All right, Charlamagne, you got a positive note?
I do. The positive note is simply about gratitude, man. Gratitude is the healthiest of all human emotions. The more you express gratitude for what you have, the more likely you will have even more to express gratitude for.
Breakfast Club, bitches!
Y'all finished or y'all done?
Hey, girlfriends. It's me, Carol Fisher, back with another season of the global number one podcast, The Girlfriends. Last time, we investigated the murder of Gail Katz. This time, we're uncovering the identity of the woman who was buried in Gail's grave for a decade before she disappeared. Join me and the rest of the club as we tell her story. Listen to season 2 of The Girlfriends, Our Lost Sister on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
I'm Tamika D. Mallory.
And it's your boy, my son, the General.
And we are your hosts of TMI. And catch us every Wednesday on the Black Effect Network, breaking down social and civil rights issues, pop culture, and politics in hopes of pushing our culture forward to make the world a better place for generations to come. Listen to TMI on the Black Effect Podcast Network, iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
That's right.
I'm Diosa.
And I'm Mala.
We're the creators of Locatora Radio, a radiophonic novela, which is a fancy way of saying
a podcast. Welcome to Locatora Radio Season 9.
Love at first listen.
This season, we're falling in love with podcasting all over again.
With new segments, correspondence, and a new sound.
Listen to Locatora Radio as part of the Michael Dura Podcast Network, available on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.